Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. So today, I'm going to now re-record this sermon that I delivered earlier this morning because the play button wasn't pushed down. So here we go. In this gospel today, we're overhearing again that Jesus was once again in a situation of an argument with the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were always trying to catch Jesus, trying to stumble him. And so today they say to Jesus that his disciples hadn't washed their hands before they ate. So where is this coming from? Well, it just so happens that for Jews to wash their hands before they eat is actually not in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. But in Exodus, there is a line that priests, before they serve or minister at the altar, need to wash their hands and their feet. There's a line later on in Exodus that God says to the Jews that he wants them to be a priestly people. So the scribes and Pharisees make a leap that, therefore, if the Jews are meant to be a priestly people, therefore all Jews should wash their hands before they eat. So in this passage, Jesus is challenged by these Pharisees and scribes. Jesus does not criticize their respect for law and tradition, but Jesus is concerned about their emphasis. And so he says to them, and he says to us, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." This phrase, the commandment of God, is at the heart of the mission and vision of Jesus. It is the law of love. Now, there's nothing wrong with laws or focusing on tradition or ritual or principle. Yet, sometimes that focus can be too narrow and not used as a guide. And so I have a story, because we can focus too much on law or ritual and not observe or see what's right in front of us. So there was this farmer who had some fields, and a government surveyor came to him and said, "I need to survey your land." And this farmer said, "No." Well, the surveyor said, "I have papers. I don't need your permission. I have government papers." So the farmer thought about it, and he said, "Okay, go ahead." So this surveyor walks onto his property inside the fence, and the farmer closes the gate. Well, at that point, a bull noticed the surveyor and was not pleased with the surveyor's company. And the surveyor noticed the bull and immediately said to the farmer, "Let me out or get rid of your bull." The farmer said, "Just show him your papers. You don't need his permission to be there." Oftentimes, Jesus did things and he wasn't seeking the permission of scribes or Pharisees when he tried to follow the law of love. There are two passages in the Gospels that illustrate Jesus' freedom and focus on love. The first is the healing of the man with the withered hand. On a Sunday, on a Sabbath, Jesus sees the man with a withered hand and he heals him. And immediately the scribes and the Pharisees confront him. "You're not supposed to work at all on the Sabbath." So Jesus turns to them and says, "Suppose you had one sheep your only sheep, and it falls into a hole on the Sabbath, wouldn't you bend down into that hole and on the Sabbath work to get the sheep up? Aren't human beings more valuable than sheep? Another passage, it's the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples are walking, and Jesus picks grain, works at picking grain on the Sabbath so his disciples can eat. And immediately the Pharisees and scribes confront him on that particular day and say, you shouldn't do what you just did. It's the Sabbath. And Jesus says, well, remember King David. He and his men were hungry, and so they went into the temple and ate the bread of presence in the temple so they wouldn't go hungry. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, said Jesus to the Pharisees and the scribes. So how was it that Jesus was able to stay focused on living this law of love? I think I hear an answer in the second reading from James. Because I see Jesus as someone who was quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Jesus, like us, had a place in his heart where he was really able to listen, an interior space. That's a God space. And we're all called to be in a space where we can really hear another person. And at times it takes attention and intention to really hear the words of another person. Because every human utterance is surrounded by mystery. We cannot, with our words, convey all of our emotions, our feelings, our intent. And when we listen, we can't hear everything that a person was trying to say, because we might have assumptions or projections like the Pharisees and the scribes had. So how do we listen with attention and intention? There was a story, a book I read this summer. Have any of you heard of that book? Same, Different, Like Me by Ron Hall and Denver Moore. This story is about a wealthy white international art dealer named Ron Hall and a homeless man, Denver Moore. And this particular book, the chapters are Ron talking and reflecting on his life, and Denver talking and reflecting on his life. One chapter Ron, one chapter Denver. And about a third of the way into the book, and I was wondering when they were going to eventually meet, but about a third of the way into the book, they finally meet. They meet at a homeless shelter in Fort Worth, Texas. Ron and his wife, Debbie, had just begun volunteering once a week. Well, Denver would go to this homeless shelter, but he would stand off to the side. He was very guarded, and yet externally, he put up a very strong front so people would not mess with him. So he kept his distance and didn't mingle. Well, Debbie had a dream that there was a black man that was going to make a big difference for this homeless shelter. And one day she notices Denver and points him out to Ron and wants Ron to engage Denver. So Ron one day says to Denver, I'd like to take you out for a cup of coffee. And Ron was surprised that Denver said yes. So they go to a cup of coffee, and Ron's pretty nervous. So he talks and talks and talks, and Denver listens and listens. Finally, Denver says, what do you want? And Ron, who's nervous, stammers out, well, let's be friends. And Denver says, I need to think about that. Well, Ron was surprised, because usually people say, sure. Well, a week later, Ron invites Denver out again for a cup of coffee. So they go to this place, and once again, Ron's nervous, and he talks and talks and talks, and Denver listens and listens and finally says, "So do you want my answer?" And Ron says, "To what?" "Well, you asked me if you want to be friends." But Denver said, "But you know, there's something strange, different about white people and the way they fish. When they go fishing and they catch a fish, they catch and release. My people, my family, when we go fishing, we catch that fish and we eat it. So if you're fishing for a friend, then no thank you. But if you want a real friend, I will be your friend forever." And so that friendship began, and the rest of the book is a profound testimony on what Denver taught Ron, the wisdom he passed on to Ron. This book really touched me. And it touches me in another way. For all of us, what are those issues or people that we catch and release? What are those areas where we're shallow and we don't go deep and we don't listen in a place in our hearts that allows a depth of relationship or a depth with an issue? God calls us to living deeply. God calls us to be quick to listen, quick and slow to speak, and slow to anger. And we especially need to be with God in a place that we are willing to listen. Because the language of God is in an interior silence, an interior space. And if we're distracted or anxious or have an agenda or we're nervous or distracted, with God and with others, it's hard to listen. Now, if we are in a space where we really are emotionally distracted or anxious or nervous, then I would propose and invite you to do the following. Let yourself feel where that pain is in that situation or circumstance that you're dealing with. Where is it in your body? Where is this anxiety or distraction? Is it in your stomach? Is it in your heart? Is it in your throat? Is it in your head? And let yourself feel it, and then welcome God into that feeling within you. Welcome God into it, and then say, "I let go of the desire for security or control or affection. I let go of loneliness or the need to be healed." And that's hard. That's very hard. So the space in which to do this kind of welcoming to God prayer needs to be with attention and intention. Attention to your own feelings and an intention to give it to God. You welcome God into that space and then you let it go. All of us are called to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Remember that any human utterance is surrounded by a mystery. How can we fully be present to another person to hear? There was a wise old owl who sat in the oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Amen.